It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. According to the Department of Labor and a recent story from our content partner Public Source, Pennsylvania ranks fourth in the country behind Texas, Alabama, and Florida for the number of hotels with labor law violations during the five-year period from May 2008 to May 2013. This includes wage and child labor violations. I'm joined now in Studio A by Public Source reporter Leah Samuel to talk about how this data translates to service given and received at the hotels you stay in this summer and how hotels can be profitable while staying in line with labor laws. Leah Samuel, welcome back to Essential Pittsburgh.
Thank you for having me.
And also with us is John Graff. He is Director of Operations for the Priority Hospitality Group and President of the Western PA Chapter of the Pennsylvania Restaurant and Lodging Association. John Graff, thank you for joining us.
Delighted to be here.
And we'd like to hear from you. You can join the conversation by calling 412-246-2002. That's 412-246-2002. Our email address is essspgh@wesa.fm, and you can reach us on Twitter at essspgh and follow the conversation at #EPLive. We'd especially like to hear from you if you are or have been a hotel employee. Tell us your story. Call us at 412-246-2002. Leah Samuel, how did you end up identifying this topic? What was the catalyst for reporting on this story?
Well, it started off with my looking at a lot of government data in general. I mean, it's kind of a geeky thing to go after, but, you know, I do kind of look at that stuff to kind of find out about trends in the country. And in the process of going through some Department of Labor data, I also noticed that there had been a couple of initiatives in Pittsburgh and Pennsylvania regarding hotel workers. And there seemed to be a belief at the Department of Labor that there was a certain amount of vulnerability for workers in hotels in Pennsylvania. And so I looked into the data and found that, in fact, there were quite a few violations of labor laws with hotel workers here. And, you know, it was really interesting to me when I looked at the numbers and saw that we were fourth behind these three states. I mean, it was really surprising to me. So I, you know, basically just sort of got into the data that way. Later got some reports from some of those about some of those hotels from the Department of Labor and began to pursue the story that way.
There are a lot of different professions, certainly in many of the service industries, people that work in restaurants and that kind of thing, where you are paid a particularly low hourly wage, much, much lower than what the minimum wage is, and told that you'll be compensated in tips, and it doesn't always work out well or in the favor of the employee. So how much of an example are hotel employees for the way in which workers can sometimes be taken advantage of?
Well, there are a number of vulnerabilities that they have, given the type of work it is. I mean, first of all, a lot of these workers are coming from coming into hotel work, which, first of all, most hotel work is, you know, it's hospitality. So it's serving, it's cleaning, it's a lot of relatively low skilled work for a lot of people. And so you have a particular demographic of folks coming into it, people who don't necessarily have other job options, or people who are immigrants, or people who are at a time in their lives when other kinds of jobs are not available to them. So that's one thing. The other aspect of it that makes them kind of vulnerable is the kind of work that it is. You know, this is a service-oriented job for the most part, So, you know, there are all kinds of ways in which people can be taken advantage of in that situation. But with hotel workers in particular, because there are particular laws governing how much you can pay someone if they receive tips, it leaves them vulnerable to a particular type of violation in which, instead of being paid, for example, time and a half for overtime for a regular, you know, the time and a half was supposed to be multiplied by their ordinary everyday, the kind of wage they would make ordinarily.
Without the tips.
But if they are part of a group of workers that you are allowed to pay less to because they receive tips. And in Pennsylvania, I think you can actually pay someone as low as $2.83 an hour if they receive tips. Well, a lot of times the overtime rate will be 1.5 times that 283, when it's actually supposed to be, the math is supposed to be done a little bit differently, where it's supposed to be 1.5 times the regular wage they would receive ordinarily minus something called a tip credit. And it's a really interesting situation. I think Mr. Graff can probably speak more about that. But yeah, that particular aspect of it is a tricky one. And it's one that I found that violation most often with a lot of these hotels.
John Graff, certainly you have not been associated with any of these labor law violations. What is your philosophy when it comes to how you treat your employees?
Well, our philosophy is to try and create sort of a family atmosphere. We want people to feel like they're part of something that is larger than just necessarily serving people that are coming in and out of our hotel every day. We have kind of a unique property. It's a 42-room boutique hotel property in a renovated monastery. And we're kind of a cornerstone of the neighborhood. We're located in Deutschtown over the North Shore. And what we want to do is try and make people feel part of the fabric of that neighborhood and part of the fabric of what we're trying to do. So, yes, we're in there to try and make money. We're there to serve our guests. But we're also trying to try and raise the tide in the neighborhood there. So we try and make people feel part of that. And I find that happy employees, employees that are motivated and want to come and do a good job, do a better job. They're better with our guests. They're better with our clients. And they do a better job overall. We have 100%. We have to do 100% every time. If somebody comes to a hotel and some portion of their stay is unsatisfactory, they had a bad interaction with a front desk associate, if a shuttle driver was rude or something, we could have knocked it out of the park in every other aspect, but that one aspect is lacking. That person's had a bad experience, and we get an F. And so what we want to do is keep our people motivated, and that means trying to pay them and treat them fairly. It means trying to make a fun workplace and a workplace that where people get along, and making them feel like they're part of something bigger than just coming in and putting their nose to the grindstone and just getting a job done.
What problems can arise from having transient employees who have to move from one hotel to another?
Well, I think that there's a lot of confusion. A lot of these labor laws are quite complicated, and even the implementation of them can be complicated. Now, in terms of the employees, obviously, an employee who's a savvy employee, somebody that knows the labor laws, for instance, and there are quite a few of them. So if they know a little bit more, they can come in, and if they feel the employer is doing something wrong, they'll point it out. And my thought is that many times the employer, when it's pointed out, will correct it. If you have transient employees that are kind of bouncing back and forth and really are not well-versed in what their rights are, that's where you can run into some problems. And sometimes, unfortunately, and I think these are the outlier operators, but they can take advantage of people too.
At your hotel, I understand you have parties for people who have worked for you for 2, 3, and 5 years. Why is keeping the same employees important to you?
Well, we spend a fair amount of trying to get people bought into the system, meaning that they're bought into our concept as to a wider view of what we're doing. And there's a lot of training involved with that, and also a lot of just trying to get people feeling like they're part of this. And if they are just taken off, then we've lost that. So we really do try and encourage people to stay with us. We just had a really nice dinner for our 10-year employees, and we have about 12 or 13 of them. And we're not that big a shop, obviously. So it's the kind of thing we try and encourage is family atmosphere, and I think it works well for the guests. It works better for the guests when you have happy, motivated employees, no doubt.
We're talking about a Public Source report. Public Source, one of our content partners, recently reporting that Pennsylvania ranks fourth in the country for the number of hotels with labor law violations, and this includes wage and child labor violations. We're joined in studio by Public Source reporter Leah Samuel and also John Graff, who is group president of the Western PA chapter of the Pennsylvania Restaurant and Lodging Association. If you have a comment or question for either of our guests, our number is 412-246-2002. Again, 412-246-2002. The email address, esspgh@wesa.fm. You can reach us on Twitter at esspgh and follow the conversation at #EPLive. We'd like to hear from you if you've been a hotel employee or are currently a hotel employee. How have you been treated? What violations have you seen? And how can they be corrected? How can things be made better for the employees of hotels in Pittsburgh and Western Pennsylvania? 412-246-2002, the number to call. Leah Samuel, are there any aspects of the story that you maybe wanted to address but could not?
Well, yes, definitely. One of the biggest, I guess, omissions in the story is the voice of a, or voices, I should say, of the people who work in hotels, the people who are actually affected by these things. And, you know, I tried as I might, couldn't find any, could find them, but could not get workers who are able or willing to talk, even going through unions that represent them, all kinds of ways of trying to get in touch with workers. And it really, I was not successful in that. And in some ways, it was really frustrating. Excuse me. It was, you know, just disappointing to not have that voice there because I thought that, you know, that's the best way to tell a story. But it also speaks to the vulnerability of these workers, of the, you know, how frightened they are in a lot of cases, how difficult it is for them to come forward, and how even beaten down some of them are in terms of wanting to come forward. And what's interesting is that since the story has come out this week, it's going to be by the end of this week, it's going to be in, I think, 10 papers across the state. And as it's being read across the state, I mean, I'm getting phone calls from hotel workers thanking me for doing the story and thanking Public Source for putting this out there, which is always nice to hear. But they're also telling some really interesting stories about what they go through and why it's so hard for them to come forward and talk about it.
What were some of the things that surprised you? I mean, surely you were, I'm guessing, had a clue going into this that you were going to find these types of stories of hotel workers being taken advantage of in some way or another. Was there something or anything surprising in your search or anything that stood out to you?
There were quite a few things. One is that I noticed that a lot of the hotels that had violations fell into a couple of different categories. In one instance, you had hotels where their issues were mostly financial. So not only were workers being cheated out of wages through, you know, not being paid for overtime or not being paid the minimum wage, but also they would have tax liens or other kinds of debts. And in one case, a hotel actually ended up, the owners ended up going bankrupt right after the violations occurred. And that's a pretty common scenario. I mean, where there's one issue with the violations, there's usually some other stuff going on too. The other group of hotels tended to be those where the violations didn't sort of come out of financial difficulty, but sort of came out of a general attitude. You know, John Graff talked about having that family atmosphere at his place, but in all these places that doesn't exist. And so not only does it not exist, but there's a general attitude of, I guess, to hear the workers talk about it, it's sort of a contempt or sort of a looking down upon them by management and whatnot. And so there's the idea that these people don't deserve to be paid what they expect to be paid or what they should be paid. And so along with the labor violations that are you know, recorded, you also have things like harassment and racial discrimination and other kinds of sort of social issues that come up. So it's a really interesting thing. I think that Mr. Graff is right in talking about the way in which, you know, if you have, if you follow the law, if you pay workers well and pay them fairly, you can create a situation where not only, you know, your hotel has a good reputation, but, you know, guests are happy because the workers are happy and they're happy to do their jobs. All those things work together. And that's one thing I think was driven home more by the story than before I had done it.
And John Graff, what are your views as you look at some of what is happening at other hotels and hear about the illegal activity that Leah is describing that was in her story. What is your feeling about it?
Well, I think Leah's characterizations, I think, were spot on. I think what you see in the article, too, are some examples of people that are good operators that made mistakes and owned up to them and admitted them. And I think really what you need to look for are the repeated violations. Those are the people that are taking advantage of workers and trying to sort of squeeze every last dime out of what they're doing. And those are the people, and certainly I know on the Restaurant and Lodging Association front, we want to see that law enforced against those folks. But one thing I will say is I think in many cases they are sort of the outliers. In terms of, you know, is that good business practice? I think it isn't. I think, if you're in a financial bind, that's one thing. But if it's a situation where you're trying to squeeze a dime when you can make a dollar by having happy employees, it makes no sense to me at all.
We see hotels and the ownership of hotels change hands fairly often. Does that contribute to this problem?
It can. I mean, it just depends on the circumstance. I mean, a lot of times you will see violations that happen, as I mentioned, in the lead up to a bankruptcy or a change in ownership due to, you know, the owners just simply not being able to afford maintaining the business anymore. And so it's sort of a chicken and egg question in a way, that the financial problems lead to the violations. But and then sometimes you have a situation where there are a lot of violations and they're having to sort of pay back wages, and then that sort of has a ripple effect upon the rest of the finances. So it just depends on the situation, really.
And which hotels have you identified that engage in this illegal activity?
In terms of specific labor violations, well, there are a variety of them across the state. In terms of the hotels in the state that have the most violations, there is the hotel in the Nemacolin. I'm having trouble remembering all the hotels because there's so many of them. But Nemacolin was one. The Fairmont Pittsburgh is another. And these were among the 10 hotels in the state that had the most violations. The Avalon Hotel in Erie, as well as the Heritage Hills Golf Resort in York. So there, and we identify in the story, 10 hotels within the state that actually have the highest numbers of violations. And then we also identify hotels in Pittsburgh with high numbers of violations. So, you know, they can go to the website at publicsource.org and read the story and check out the map of where these hotels are located and see what's there.
And John Graff, what concerns does this create for you if somebody goes to a hotel, any hotel, and has a bad experience? Can it reflect badly even on a hotel like yours, where you are obviously taking steps to take good care of your employees and to make sure that people have a good experience, that your clients have a good experience at your hotel?
Well, to the extent that an industry can get sort of tarred with the acts of a few bad actors, and I would say yes. I would certainly hate to have people come into my place thinking, well, is he or isn't he one of those dastardly people? So I think it's in everybody's best interest that if people follow the law, and if for some reason they don't follow the law, in many cases, as I mentioned, I think it's inadvertent, that they remedy the situation immediately and do their best to comply after that. Because, yeah, everybody can get hurt.
John Graff joining us, president of the Western PA chapter of the Pennsylvania Restaurant and Lodging Association. John, thank you so much for being with us here in Studio A.
My pleasure.
And also Leah Samuel of Public Source, who reported this story on the situation with the way hotels are treating employees and the violations of labor laws in the state of Pennsylvania, and how the state of Pennsylvania is one of the most offensive states in the country when it comes to these labor violations, including wage and child labor violations. If you want to read Leah's story, you can again, we'll have a link to it on our website at WESA.FM. And Leah Samuel, thank you so much for being with us here on Essential Pittsburgh.
Thank you. Thank you.
Coming up, if you're taking a trip to upstate New York this summer, you'll want to hear what our travel contributor Elaine LaBalme has to say. It's Essential Pittsburgh on 90.5 WESA.